Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Sportive Podcast, the only podcast that records one episode a month and still expects you to listen. I am John Martheller, and joining me tonight from the greatest party room in the world, Stu.
Hey, John. How's it going?
I was trying to come up with a much more laudatory way of referring to your apartment building, or really just the city of St. Paul, the greatest city in the world. But I really struggled there. I struggled. And you know why?
The humidity?
The humidity. Yeah. I was going to say, is it hot enough for you? But it's too hot. It's too hot for me. Buddy. It's too hot for human life.
It's hot for everybody. It is so hot that actually the TV here doesn't even have the Twins game on. It has, you guessed it, the red clay of Roland Garros. The French Open, baby. It's back.
It's actually happening this time. For the second time this year, according to the Sportive Podcast,
yes,
the French Open is happening.
40% of the podcasts we've recorded this year, the French Open has been happening.
So. It must be a COVID thing. They must have played the 2021, and then they're just doing the 2021 run right away.
My money's on Ilya Nastase. That's just me. How's it going, John?
Oh, it is. I am transforming into a weather crank, Stu. Honestly, I have given up on sports entirely. And now I just regale my family and friends with weather facts. And I talk about the dew point a lot. And my family is tired of me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's like I think everyone in my circle is tired of me pointing out that it's warmer here than it is in Phoenix and New Orleans. I think everyone has become fatigued with that little factoid.
I am consistently astounded when I look at the weather maps because it is hotter here than it is in like anywhere else in the country. How is it hotter than Phoenix here? How is it hotter than New Orleans? How is it hotter than Washington, D.C.? How in the name of all things holy, is that even possible, Stu? I thought I understood how weather worked more or less. But the idea that I had that as you go south, it gets warmer is suddenly not true. Why?
No.
How?
Why? You see, that's why we actually did have a – and I think he actually still listens for some godforsaken reason. Weatherman Matt Brickman, he could probably actually give us an idea of why this is happening and why we are being punished by an angry God.
We would have him on the podcast, except the whole thing would just be us shouting at him and blaming him for the weather.
We could trick him and tell him we're going to talk about shoes.
Right.
Maybe he would. He would come on, but
we're going to talk about the dapper clothing of some kind. But instead, would just have him on and blame him for our problems.
Yeah, which is fine. But yeah, weather sucks. You all know it. Everyone who's listening to this knows the weather sucks. We just had a downpour here, just like a huge, like 30-minute rainstorm. It was like just out of nowhere. The sun was out the entire time, but it like. It dropped the air temperature down to like 74, which was
oh my gosh. Yeah, I know. I was praying for that particular storm to hit our house, and it didn't.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it hit. It's not. It's all. I mean, it's 74, but the humidity is 100%.
But it's actually raining upwards from the ground now.
Yeah, it's just kind of sauna-y, or more sauna-y than it was before. But I'll take it. It was pretty dry, so I guess that's fine.
Well, I gotta say, we wanted to make sure that this was still the podcast that had the most dad energy of all the podcasts. And by talking about the weather for 5 minutes before talking about sports, I think we've accomplished that.
I think we have. We did write down like topics to talk about on our text chain, but there was one that I didn't write and you didn't write either, so we should probably lead with that.
Yep, definitely that one.
How are the Minnesota Lynx doing, John?
They have 3 wins and 5 losses, Stu. They lost their first 4 games of the season. What didn't help, honestly, was that Nafisa Collier, who's their best player, I think missed the first 2 or possibly the first 3 games of the season because she was still playing overseas. And the WNBA is taking some steps to combat that and to not outlaw it exactly, but make it more that WNBA players are going to be playing less overseas and more in the WNBA. And first of all, that can't come soon enough. But second of all, it seems like the easiest way to do that would be to pay the players way more. I'm just saying. If they didn't have to go play in Bosnia or whatever to make a living.
Yeah, it's like they go to like a country that is currently like at war with a different country. Mm-hmm. The apartment building is called like Sectarian Violent Estates. You know, this one of those things, and they wouldn't do that willingly. I don't think that's a thing that they want to do. They really don't want to see glorious Estonia in January. They just want to have a full time job at home.
I read an absolutely amazing WNBA story the other day. So there's this player for Connecticut named Jonquel Jones, who, in order to make it easier for her to play in Europe, she somehow got Bosnian citizenship. I didn't do any research to understand how maybe she has Bosnian ancestry. I honestly don't know the answer to that. But somehow she got Bosnian citizenship. But now they're having like the European Championships or something. So she has to leave for like the next 3 weeks of the season, which is a huge chunk of the season. And she's maybe Connecticut's best player. She's got to leave to play for Bosnia. And I really wish I'd done some research because like is she a Bosnian citizen? All right, now I have to look it up. Complain about something WNBA related while I look up.
Yeah,
so how I just remember, she became Bosnian.
Yeah, I remember Lindsay Whalen, her pro career was basically the WNBA and then some Eastern European country that used to be part of the Soviet Union before 1991. That was her entire pro career. I could see why she would go to the relative stability, and I realize I'm using air quotes, of college basketball coaching, because that just can't be long-term a winnable situation for both your mental and physical health. Have you found the story yet, John? I can start humming.
What is definitely true is that she is from the Bahamas.
Bahama and Bosnia. That's 6 letters, starts with a B, ends with an A.
I was on Wikipedia and I clicked on the link that was supposed to take me to the explanation of how she was now a Bosnian citizen of Bosnia and Herzegovina, but A, the page no longer exists, and B, the site is in Bosnian. So even if it had existed, I would really have struggled to understand what's going on. So we're just going to go ahead and say there's a thing. Anyway.
Yeah, the only sportive listener, or not sportive listener, but like sportive connection to Bosnia is, I think, Chicken Fingers' friend Irv. Yeah. I think Irv is actually a Bosnian.
Yep. A Herzegovinian freedom fighter of some kind.
Oh, you do not dare call him Herzegovinian. He will put one over on you. He's Bosnian through and through.
Through and through. All right. Well, now that Irv is driving to our houses to beat us up, we should probably hurry up and get on. Anyway, the Lynx, I think they'll be fine. They're more or less fine now. They put up 100 on Atlanta the other day. So Atlanta's not terrible, but Anytime you're putting up 100 in the WNBA, things must be going okay. So I think they'll ultimately be fine, but it's just it's a short preseason, and they got Collier back late, and somebody else came back late too. Kayla McBride was overseas, and she came back late as well. So it might take them a few games, but I think they'll be fine.
Awesome. Because, yeah, I mean, obviously the failure of the Minnesota Twins has left a wide open window for any sports enjoyment the rest of this summer. Right. And it's the Twins are so bad, of course, all the players you would have liked to see with the Saints are currently playing for the Minnesota Twins or on their injured list. Right. And
the bright side is, as the Twins players come back from the injured list, they're going to St. Paul to play. So in some ways, like right now, Byron Buxton is playing in St. Paul. And
It's still raining, so I think that game's either going to get delayed or called, if I had to guess.
Man, but, send some of that rain over here.
We're
at that point of the year, begging
thank
for
you,
rain.
Dad. Well put, Dad. Before we move off of women's sports, I assume you have some opinions about the announcement yesterday of the potential for a Minnesota professional women's soccer team.
Well, not professional.
Not professional. Oh, okay.
A women's soccer team for sure, but what the USL is starting, that's the United Soccer League, which has a second division, third division, and then I suppose fourth division league on the men's side. They are starting, or maybe rather restarting, what is sort of a developmental league, a little bit like the Northwoods League for college baseball. These will be players that are playing all summer but still retaining their college eligibility. So the Northwoods League or the Cape Cod League, there used to be a men's soccer equivalent I think it was called the PDL. I think I have that right. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of different USL leagues with a lot of different names. But there did used to be a W league around here too. There was a team called the Minnesota Lightning way back in the W league. So they're restarting the W league under the umbrella of the USL, and Minnesota will have one of these teams. I think if I remember what I read right, the other seven teams in this league will all be teams that are sort of under the banner of another USL team. So I think it'll be interesting in the sense that Minnesota will be one of the few, if not the only, independent team in the league. So it's interesting. We'll see what they do. I'm of course excited about it. They're having a kickoff event of some kind on Sunday. Over by me, actually, over at the U of M soccer stadium.
Ooh, fun.
So I feel like I'm veering into public relations mode here, but they also seem to have said something about how there's going to be fan ownership available. So I assume you are going to own a piece of this team still.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never. It's possible, I suppose, just because you know.
I feel like
you know how I am.
In so many ways, you're like the Mike Lynn of the podcast. Just remarkable Stu Newman. You know what I mean? Like, every time there's a big Minnesota event, somehow Stu sends us a picture and is like, oh, Stu's sitting in a suite for a Vikings playoff game.
That doesn't sound.
Why is Stu dropping the puck at a Wild playoff game? I don't know, but I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the guy.
I take it one game at a time, John. Right. I don't get too high, don't get too low, let the chips fall they may.
So, regional Twitter celebrities, I think, will be a big part of this ownership group. So I assume you were part of that. I assume that's why you brought it up. But
no, I think it's just because all the men's sports around here are just god-awful.
Yep.
Or just struggling so bad it felt smarter to give some attention to things that have the potential to be good. Happen to be the women's side of things here.
I'm interested to see where this women's team plays, honestly. I don't my guess is that they will not play at Allianz Field, although maybe they will. I honestly don't know, but I'm slightly hopeful they'll play at the U of M stadium because it's right next door to my house, but I'm also slightly hopeful they play up at the National Sports Center in Blaine just because it'd be nice to go back up there and watch soccer again just for old time's sake. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, I loved going to Blaine. That was just fun. it just felt like you were kind of like you were doing it like behind the authorities' back.
Right.
You know, it felt like it was just kind of like a, yeah, it's like scrappy kind of underdog, like you're getting away with something, you're out past curfew.
Yeah, and it was like it was the kegger in the field of Minnesota.
Exactly. Sports. Yes.
That, are the cops going to show up? We don't know.
Yeah. Will there be power at the stadium? Again, we don't know. Right. But it was just, I mean, I think that was a part of the charm. It just didn't feel like it was like a thing that was like necessarily on the up and up. And I know it was on the up and up, but it kind of felt like it wasn't. And that was cool. And
there
fun.
Were a couple of years where it was not on the up and
no,
up.
It was definitely not. That is very
2008, 2009. I'm not going to say anything more for reasons of potential slander lawsuits. But.
Libel slander, the best kind. Yep. Okay.
So that's good. All right, let's keep talking. This is a women's sport podcast now. What else do you want to talk about? Do you want to do an Olympic soccer preview?
Actually, I was going to stay with soccer because of the wild USA-Mexico game on Sunday.
Did you watch this game, Stu? No,
I didn't, but I woke up on Monday morning early because it's, you know, it's 5:30, it's super bright out, and it's already 85 degrees.
Right.
And just was scrolling back through my Twitter feed, and all of the, like, GIFs and reactions from, like, around midnight, 1 o'clock of the people who stayed up to watch this. I don't even know what this was. It was CONCACAF? Was that what it was?
Yeah, it's hard to explain what the competition was, but
okay.
Ultimately, all CONCACAF competitions are designed to get USA playing Mexico with something on the line. And luckily for them, that's what happened because this tournament had semifinals that involved the USA winning extremely late against Honduras and then Mexico needing penalty kicks to beat Costa Rica. And the nightmare was Honduras and the nightmare for the people who were trying to sell this was Honduras and Costa Rica playing in the final. And not that would be a bad game or not to diminish the accomplishments of those two fine nations, but they're certainly, from a marketing standpoint, you know that they are hoping for USA Mexico. And the game did not disappoint, Stu. It was not a great soccer game. It was an exciting game. It was certainly an exciting game, but then it was a pretty typical CONCACAF game, which meant that it was pretty wild through the first part, but then it went into extra time, and then it became maybe the most
so much extra time,
the
so
most
much extra
CONCACAF
time.
Game of all time. The only rule of soccer in CONCACAF in this region is that literally anything can happen, and you can never be surprised if it happens three times directly in a row. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were fights. There were two truly terrible instant replay decisions to give each team a penalty. There, in between, the Mexico coach got sent off because he walked up behind the referee while the referee was looking at the instant replay and put his arm around him like they were standing and watching a game at the bar or something like that, and the ref turned around and sent him off. They, for some reason, someone thought, you know what would be a good place to do the instant replays? Let's put this directly between the benches where everybody on both teams will be standing and yelling the whole time. Just utterly an insane decision that could only happen during a CONCACAF game. There were, like I said, there were multiple fights. There was another incident in which a player from Mexico put a chokehold on a player from the United States and wasn't penalized at all. There were a couple of Mexican players that honestly could have been given about four yellow cards apiece. But the referee was clearly, on the one hand, it seemed like he really didn't want to decide the game. And on the other hand, he seemed absolutely delighted to try to decide the game, because when the USA got its penalty in extra time, he walked back onto the field. And if you imagine the most over-the-top cowboy Joe West turned up to 11 kind of overwrought signal to signal the penalty, it was unbelievable. It was like he was playing air guitar. He was so excited to signal that it was penalty time. And then he got to do it again on an equally stupid call. They were both terrible calls. Neither of them was a penalty. It was like just trying to eliminate the idea of the teams going to penalties at the end of extra time by giving both teams a penalty in regular time just to see if they could settle that way, which they did. because Mexico missed their penalty because it was saved by the backup goalkeeper who was on the field. And the fact that the backup goalkeeper was the hero of the game by saving a penalty in extra time, and that it didn't come up until 14 minutes into me talking about this, gives you some idea of the pure insanity of this game. It was terrible. It was glorious. It was CONCACAF. It was everything, especially since the United States won. And
yeah,
they play, like I say, they play Mexico about every 3 years in something that matters. And I think they've lost the last, I'm going to conservatively estimate, they've lost the last 43, it seems like.
Let's see. Here are four things that you didn't mention from the match.
Four things I've forgotten.
Somehow you forgot. First of all, the U.S. was down 1-0 30 seconds into the game.
30, yes, that happened.
Immediately. I mean, so people probably just said, screw it, it's happening again. Didn't watch it. Because it was 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. Two, there was a streaker. Which is usually the first thing that gets brought up when there's a streaker.
A closed streaker, but nonetheless, that was in like added time and extra time. Like the game was trying to come to an end, and there was a guy running on the field just in the middle of the play.
Three, I believe it was NBCSN or one, whatever succeeded NBCSN.
No, it's CBS Sports Network. CBS.
Sorry, yeah, CBS. Somebody got onto the set.
That's right.
And jumped. They're like, you know, up against a railing, and the guy just walked onto the set, then jumped over the side of the railing.
Yep.
No one knows if he survived.
Yeah,
he might still be falling right now. Honestly, we don't know. We have no way of finding out.
I don't know whether it was like a 2 foot drop down to the seats on the other side of the rail, or he literally jumped out of the upper deck
or death. Yeah. Yes, so we have no
idea. I don't know.
He might be dead. And the fourth thing is at the at match's end, there was like this incredible photograph of your hero Christian Pulisic shirtless giving the hush sign to the crowd, and I believe our mutual friend Dana Wessels already had that tattooed onto his left buttock.
I think he would do it in a more public place. Honestly, it might.
Oh, that
I,
is true.
I would have thought he would have tattooed that picture life size over his own body. You know what I mean?
Like, I think he wants to like work on his like abs a little more so he can like make it more of a body fit type of thing.
Just a full body Pulisic tattoo to just be tattooed his likeness over Dana's likeness.
Yeah, it's like one of the cooler sports photos I've seen in quite a long time. So.
And that was right before another thing I didn't mention, that was right before one of the US players got hit full in the face by a full drink cup. Which then later in the game there was another fight near the stands, and I think people insinuated, although I don't know for sure, but people insinuated that on the other side that these were also Mexico fans that were throwing stuff. It may well be American fans. I don't know. But these Mexico fans that were throwing stuff were launching things into the fight, which might seem like a good idea as you're throwing it, but the only person who got hit in the face was a player from Mexico that time.
Where was the game? Was it in? It was in Denver, wasn't it?
It was in Denver.
Oh, good God!
Oh, I just thought of two more things that happened, Stu, that we haven't mentioned yet. Number one, the game was stopped because of homophobic chanting by the fans. Number two, during CBS, CBS is really leaning into like the inside the NBA style banter for their pregame and postgame shows. They did it for they had the Champions League, they had the Europa League, they did it for all of those shows to the point that it was actually a little bit uncomfortable, you know what I mean? And they were trying the same thing for these CONCACAF games, these Nations League games. And it was entertaining because Clint Dempsey was on there, and everybody loves Clint Dempsey, and Charlie Davies is really good, and Kate Abdo is a great host, and then there was Oguchi Onyewu, who is all three of those guys are former USA players. And they all had really good insights, but they were all really trying to turn up like the banter machine, you know what I mean? They're trying to be entertaining, say inside the NBA stuff, but Oguchi Onyewu sort of lost track of what he was doing, and there was a former Mexican player by the name of Ginelli Farias who was on the set, who was sort of taking Mexico's side, and Onyewu was trying to do the banter thing, but what came out of his mouth was, she said something about how Mexico fans were louder than U.S. fans. What came out of his mouth was, I'm going to come across the desk and choke you, which is just one of those. And, you know, he apologized later. He obviously should apologize. It was a very heartfelt apology. And I'm sure because he was trying to get into this inside the NBA kind of banter thing, he didn't think about what he was actually saying, which was, I am going to attack you. I'm going to physically attack you, and you're female and I'm male. That's not okay. But
yeah, no, it's not, not great.
The whole banter thing, I sort of mentioned, I don't – the funny thing about it is all of those guys and all of the people on the CBS shows have really interesting things to say about what's going on in the game. And for some reason, they seem to be turning that down so they can make really awkward jokes and fake laugh about, like, what other people are doing. And I don't like it, Stu. I don't like it.
Nor should you.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So. Boy, why? Is it my birthday? I just have to ask. We've talked about the WNBA. We've talked about a startup amateur women's soccer league. And we've talked about the USA and Mexico. And I'm having the best time ever. Yeah, I just want to say I'm having a great time. No one is. No one's listening anymore.
Well, I wanted to front load it with, like, you know, positive stuff, and that happens to be where the positive stuff is, because now we are going to go into the section where we talk about mainline Minnesota sports.
Well, we can talk about baseball cheating first if you want.
Let's see. Check the score here. If you're listening to live, Yankees are up 5-1 in the third.
Oh my gosh!
So, So the Twins. They had their chance to get fat on the lousy teams, and they went 7-6. So they gained one game from where they were at. And now they are playing the Yankees and Astros, who are much better than them. Yankees won last night. Twins committed 4 errors and are on track to lose again tonight. The handwriting isn't just on the wall. It is getting painted in blood on everyone's kitchen.
Right.
It's over, Johnny.
It's over.
So,
June 9th.
It's over. It was over 2 weeks ago, but it's over. The cheating thing there was a connection to this evening's game because Garrett Cole
is a cheater.
And Josh Donaldson from the Twins basically called him out by name about it. So this was the first time they were going to face each other. So far, it is going Garrett Cole's way, but that's kind of how that works for the Twins and the Yankees.
I will say it's extremely comforting to me that it's not just when things are on the line that the Twins completely choke against the Yankees. It's not in the playoffs or even when both teams are good and everyone's saying, well, this is a statement series for the Twins. Let's see if they can do it against the Yankees. All that stuff. It's not just when that is happening. When there's absolutely nothing on the line and the Twins are garbage and the Yankees are also garbage, it's nice to know that the Twins will still put both hands around their own throat and choke away the game. It's just, it's comforting. It's like thunderstorms in the summer.
Yeah. But as far as the rest of the cheating goes, I am sort of like half-assed following it. It feels like there's maybe actually going to be some sort of investigation or discipline for the pitchers, but it's not like we haven't heard that before. And how do you enforce it? How do you go about doing it? And I for one have no idea.
None at all. Did you see Garrett Cole's answer to the question?
He should be elevated to Congress. I think the non-denial, just not denying it, but just the most mealy-mouthed dog shit. That's great. Senator Cole, enjoy your 6 years as the junior senator from New York. You're great. Good job, buddy.
You know, there's sort of the moment that everybody remembers from whatever these scandals are. Like, with the steroid stuff, maybe it's Barry Bonds in the courthouse of the amazing story where somebody overheard what was going on in the courtroom and Barry Bonds admitted all this stuff, or anything that happened in 1998 when Mark McGwire was hitting baseballs 900 feet and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Whatever, there are these moments. But when I think back on the pitcher cheating scandal of 2020, 2021, it really Garrett Cole's answer when someone asked him, have you ever used spider tack? I think that's what it's called, spider tack, which is this
yes.
amazingly sticky rosin. I read this story about it the other day. I think it was in The Athletic, where it turned out it was invented by a World's Strongest Man guy. And mm-hmm. I think it was invented at North Dakota State, so go Bison.
Yeah, go Bison.
It's so sticky that they do this competition where they lift these huge rocks, and he invented it for that so he could get a grip on the rocks. And it's so sticky that he actually hurt himself because he couldn't let go of the rock, and he tore his arm muscle because it was basically like his hands had been super glued to the rock, and it ripped his arm off. And so that's what these pitchers are using. And if I was a major league pitcher, I am not a major league pitcher, but if I was a major league pitcher and someone asked me, hey, have you ever used this miracle grip stuff called spider tack? Mm-hmm. And it was in a public press conference, I think my reaction would be, what is spider tack? Or I have never heard of that. Or no.
No.
All of these are pretty good answers when it comes to someone out and out asking if you have cheated. And what Garrett Cole said was basically, well, and then there was like a pause for like 10 seconds as his brain, the wheels are turning in his brain. Like you can almost see the Homer Simpson cymbal monkey clapping in his head.
Yep.
And then what he said was, I don't know how to answer that question, which if you're cheating, there's really only one way to answer that question, Garrett. We just came up with three good ones. No. I've never heard of that. How could you ask such a question? You know, there's so many good ways to say, no, I'm not cheating, that aren't immediately interpreted by everyone, which is what happened, that what Garrett Cole was saying was, yes, I have not only cheated, I am continuing now to cheat. Right now, I have spider tack on my fingers. Hand me this microphone and see if you can get it away from me.
Oh,
it was
God.
Just – it was absolutely the best – it's what I'll remember this cheating scandal for. Anyway,
yeah.
Garrett Cole should be in prison. So should the rest of the pitchers in Major League Baseball. And
umpires.
The one thing I'm sure of is some combination of the same thing that I think we said during the steroids thing, which was how come the Twins can't get any of this? Like Alex Colomé, did nobody tell him about the spider tack?
You think he would have? He should have known about it, but it's hard to say. I mean, was he using it last year when he was good?
Maybe. So anyway, it's disappointing, and what we've been reduced to with the Twins is that we wish they would cheat more. Failing
please cheat more.
Failing that,
just
the
please.
Astros and the Yankees should all be in prison.
Well, yeah, that's just. But everyone, that's just an agreed upon thing.
Yep.
By people of good conscience.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's see. All of the Twins are still hurt.
They're all bad, but also hurt.
Yeah. They're at a point where losing Rob Refschneider really hurt them, which is really all you need to know about the Twins. And they got it back last night, and then they lose Kyle Garlick with a sports hernia today. So... It's insane.
I have a question. This is bro and turd related. Did they come out and actually say what happened to Mitch Garver, or are we still assuming what happened to Mitch Garver?
No.
They called it, when he left the game, they called it a groin contusion, which it clearly was.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with his groin muscle. Let's put it that way.
No. No, it did not. I have a knee had emergency surgery like a couple hours after it happened. I asked a friend of mine who is a former emergency room doctor, and she said, "Oh yeah, that's probably a ruptured testicle. That's probably what that means." When you have a injury down there and have emergency surgery, that's usually what that means for a guy.
If you were
so Mitch, does not mean that's what happened, but that was her speculation.
If you were Mitch Garver, why would you ever come back and play baseball again this
season?
I
think that might be the last you've seen of Mitch Garver at catcher.
Oh.
I think he will be transitioning to a place very far away from the ball. Like, yeah. Can you go, like, what's past right field? Is there something? right field?
He's going to be playing in the Oswaldo Arcia memorial spot in the right field bleachers where he's gotten distracted and just gone up into the bleachers to try to get out.
Like at Target Field, he'll just be on the plaza. He'll be out by gate 30. He'll be buying beers for people, hanging out by the statues and the flagpoles.
Got a glove on and an NHL.
Hey, Mitch, how's it going?
And an NHL goaltender's hockey cup on. Oh no, not getting hurt by that one again.
He'll be the guy reading pamphlets about adopting. That was really mean.
He's standing in right field and he's standing behind a brick wall that he built in the first and second innings, making sure. Oh. The worst.
You can't hurt me out here.
Oh, the worst. A metaphor for the twin season. But
seriously, you cannot excuse this. They were bad when healthy, but the injuries have made it impossible for them to do. The pitching is bad. The injuries have made the offense, it's impossible for them to get any sort of consistency out of that lineup. It's just everything's bad.
Yep.
So injuries, inconsistency, and a lack of pitching.
Yeah, the hitters haven't been good. The starting pitchers haven't been good. The front office looks like idiots. The bullpen has been terrible. And even if you go down to the medical staff, nobody's been able to stay on the field. So really, we talked about the total system failure in, I think that was 2011, right? This feels far more like a total system failure.
Yeah, because this team, I mean, everyone was worried about the first round of the playoffs. That was what everybody was worried about.
Yeah, we said on this podcast that it was a weird year because we were all just waiting for the start of October so the Twins could play a game that mattered. Yeah. But as it turns out, at best, October 2022.
Yep. Yeah, it literally is a case of when do they start selling off and who do they sell off.
Right.
It's likely going to be, is there a market for, Nelson Cruz?
Yeah.
Is there a market for Nelson Cruz?
I assume Berríos will be on the market.
Berríos?
He doesn't seem to want to sign. Simmons will go, yeah.
Yeah, you would think Sano will probably, there'll probably be some sort of market for Sano. Not much of one,
boy,
but.
He's got a contract for two more years or something, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know. Nobody's going to want that.
I don't know either. Yeah, no, yeah, correct. Donaldson, probably.
Oh, this is so depressing.
Maybe. Yeah.
This is just the most depressing.
It really is. Even though the pain is still recent, the Wild had a very good year. They're set up to succeed. Would you like to talk about the end of the season, how the off season looks, and anything to do with the NHL playoffs? Because I know that's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, right. Well, this whole podcast has been my wheelhouse. There's been complaining and niche sports, and so I'm here for it. It's the Marth Holler Show tonight. I don't know how far we want to get into the expansion draft stuff, but that's the stuff that everybody's thinking about right now. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the date of the expansion draft. It's coming up fairly soon, and the Wild have got some decisions to make. I think they're trying to figure out who they're going to protect. They're in the weird scenario where two of the guys they have to protect, Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, both have no move clauses and so have to be protected. They would prefer not to protect either one. I think. I guess I could see somebody maybe trying to make an argument for Suter, but they would love if anybody took Parisi off their hands right now.
Oh,
but
yeah.
As we've mentioned before, they're in such a weird scenario because they still may buy out Parisi and they still may do some other stuff, but they also are in this random scenario where if Parisi retires before his contract is up, and he has 4 more years to go, if he retires before his contract is up, that will also kill their salary cap. So yeah. They seem to be trying to make him as unhappy as possible, and I don't quite understand why, because it always seemed like they have, if anything, a reason to try to keep him happy so that he keeps playing for the next 4 years, even if they trade him to New York or wherever. I honestly don't know where would particularly want him. So, and I'm really feeling bad for him to the point that I hope that he scores 40 goals next year and 20 of them are on the power play, just because I feel so bad for what's happened to him this year. But they're in a weird scenario where I think they could just about keep everybody they wanted to keep if they could get Parisi and Suter to waive their no move clauses. But assuming that doesn't happen, they're going to have Matt Dumba potentially unprotected, who you would think would be Seattle's pick. They've got a couple of big money contracts that are coming up. They're going to try to re-sign Kirill Kaprizov this summer to a super long-term contract, and they're going to try to lock up Eriksson Ek to a long-term contract. And they've got a decision to make, I think, on Kevin Fiala a little bit, where I think they would like to have him around, but maybe not on the money he was hoping for. And so they've got to sort of navigate the whether they negotiate that contract with him and try to talk him down, or if they just go ahead and trade him to somebody. And the same a little bit when they decide who they're keeping in the expansion draft, the same a little bit goes for Matt Dumba, I think, that if they're truly going to decide that they're not going to protect him in the expansion draft, can they maybe trade him for somebody and have somebody else be the pick? At some point, Seattle has to take a player from every team in the NHL, and so they're not going to just take the best available NHL player from every roster, because then they would have 31 players, and they don't want 31 players because they don't have room for 31 contracts. So at some point, if you can get to the point where the players that are available from your team are not as good as the players that are available from other teams, you're not going to lose an NHL, or you're going to lose a prospect or something like that off the minor league wire, which is there's a lot of things that I feel like could happen. I think they could look to just straight up move Dumba to try to get something for him and not just lose him. I think there's still a possibility, probably not a good possibility, but that they could start packaging up Dumba and Fiala and maybe Marco Rossi, who is their young center prospect, their top 10 pick that did not play last year because he got the super COVID. And, you know, you feel terrible for him because he never got to the NHL, and goodness knows what kind of shape he's in. I've heard that I've read that he's skating again and stuff now, and I hope he comes back the same as always. But, of course, with COVID, you have no idea.
No clue at all.
But I think there's at least a chance they try to package up Dumba and Fiala and Rossi, and maybe they've got a number of high draft picks, not high like top 10, but they got a couple of first rounders and a couple of second rounders, I think, in the draft this year. And you start with those three guys, maybe I don't know where a fourth guy would be, some draft picks. You start maybe thinking about trying to get into the Jack Eichel sweepstakes for trading for him from Buffalo, because everyone seems to think that Eichel is a bona fide number one center, and that is something the Wild don't have and desperately would like. So I think you have to sort of look at it that if you're the Wild and say, do we want to roll the dice and say we need a number one center more than anything else, even though Eichel has been on the losingest team in the history of the world for years, and say, yes, this guy is actually good, he's just stuck in Buffalo, and we're going to mortgage the franchise for him? Or do you just say, you know what, we're going to take our chances and see how good Rossi is, and we think he can be that number one center? So I think the other thing that they might look to do is just straight up try to turn one or maybe even more of those draft picks into picking on behalf of Seattle who Seattle's going to take. Now, that sort of thing backfired a little bit with the Vegas expansion draft because the Wild decided that they were going to take their top prospect, who was Alex Tuck, and trade him to Vegas in the hopes with the agreement being that if they did that, then Vegas would take Eric Halla instead of three or four other guys. And what turned out is that they both turned out to be amazing for Vegas, and the Wild just packaged them up and gave them away for free. And
Sorry.
What's that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So there's a certain amount of me that does just want them to say, you know what, let's just lose a player and we're just going to take our lumps. But there is something attractive about the idea of offering them one of those first-round picks or one of those second-round picks or whatever just to say, please, take our draft pick and don't take any of the players we don't want you to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
But honestly, whoever they nominated to be picked would probably then turn into an all-star. So what do you know? What does anybody know?
We know that the previous expansion team took the Wild out in seven and are about to eliminate the Colorado Avalanche, who everyone thought was a behemoth. But I believe Vegas is up 3-2, if I am
That's correct.
Reading my... Yeah.
I got to say, I did not see that coming when Colorado won game one like 9-1 or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Vegas was just fucking gassed from the Wild series, I think, but now they've clearly caught whatever second wind was out there for them. And
well, I will say that Las Vegas is the worst town in the world. Absolutely the worst town.
Well, yes.
And I hope that it's...
Climate change will take care of it in about 15, 20 years. It'll be fine.
About 15, 20 minutes, doesn't matter the weather outside still. Am I right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you are right. You are right. Who else is it? Is it Montreal, team from the north?
Yeah, Montreal was on the verge of losing to Toronto, and now they've won seven straight games and made everybody in Toronto sad and then everybody in Winnipeg sad. So Montreal is in there. I think the Islanders are about to close it out tonight. Hold on, we're going to check the score, the live score. Looks like Boston just scored. So they're
or maybe not.
There's a chance. There, 14 minutes left. The Islanders are up two. So
they could be
closing that out. The Lightning closed out our beloved Carolina Hurricanes.
Sorry, Rocket. Yeah. So sorry. So the Lightning are probably the prohibitive favorites to
take this one. Everybody, I think, is hoping for the Lightning versus either Vegas or Colorado because that I think would be the best series. Which I think means that somehow it'll be Montreal versus the Islanders. And
well, when is the last time a Canadian team has been in the final?
Been in the finals? I think it might still be 93. No, wait. Edmonton was in it a few years ago, weren't they?
Okay.
I believe Edmonton. I think Edmonton lost to Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Anyway.
But it's
the last time a Canadian team won it was 93. Which
93,
was
yeah. But it's, which is bananas because obviously Canada... They like hockey up there.
They do. They're
fans.
I think the Tampa Bay, let's say it's Tampa Bay and Vegas in the finals, and from a hockey standpoint, those are two amazing teams, and those games should be barn burners, and whatever. From the standpoint of people who are from Minnesota or from Canada, where the weather is garbage and it's freezing all winter and the only thing we have to depend on is hockey, nothing could make you more angry. Just the worst. I hate it so much.
It would be like if in the NFL the two very best teams were the most aesthetically pleasing and fun to watch were Jacksonville and the Los Angeles Rams,
right.
Where nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit, but they're just great teams. So that's, God. I feel for you, Canada.
Yeah,
and I guess Minnesota and Detroit and Chicago and all those other cities in between.
I want to be clear that I don't feel bad for Detroit or Chicago.
No, I know. I guess that leaves football.
That does leave football. Stu texted before the podcast started to say we should note that the Vikings have signed every cornerback in the NFL. Which meant that we had to go look up a list just to make sure we knew who they had signed.
Well, it's just because, I mean, one of the storylines after the draft was that they somehow did not draft another cornerback,
mm-hmm.
which is like the only thing Mike Zimmer asks in the draft is just whatever you do. I know you're going to draft a bad offensive lineman and a quarterback who can't throw Rick, and that's usually how he phrases it. And then Rick will come back and say, yeah, your playoff record's great, Mike. What do you want? And then he'll draft a cornerback. Yep. But he did not draft a cornerback this year.
Mike Zimmer doesn't ask for much. He just asks that he be allowed to be sour to everyone around him and that the first-round pick goes on a cornerback every time.
Yes. And, of course, with the Vikings actually have a fair amount of need at the position due to departures. And I think, was it Gladney who is in some not great shit with, like, some domestic issues?
I don't even remember, but that sounds
plausible. I'm almost certain it's Gladney. I apologize if I am slandering him, but I think I'm right. I know they got Mackenzie Alexander back. That was one of their signings, and Patrick Peterson was a sign-in. They got Breshad Breeland from the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think they have also acquired seven other dudes, either who are college free agents or like have like 1 or 2 years under their belt and like practice squad somewhere else. But literally just every other day, there is another cornerback getting signed by the Vikings. And I got to imagine, I mean, Zimmer's not happy because he's never been happy, but I think he at least, the corner of his mouth turns up slightly when things like this happen, because he's got just a bunch of cornerbacks that he can throw in there and just, you know, have that kind of thing happening for him.
It's like the same kind of laugh that Mike Zimmer laughs when he sees a child falling over and hurting itself.
Fortunately, I think chicken is already, like, I think the U.S.-Mexico thing probably got him off of the...
If he stuck through the first 20 minutes of this podcast, I got to give him credit.
Yeah. Yeah, then we deserve to get yelled at for bad-mouthing Mike here at the 50-minute mark. I know they had a mini-squad practice today, and they're, like, doing that, the mandatory mini-camp, the not-mandatory mini-camp, or is it mandatory? I don't give a shit. But the real story, of course, is across the border, because absent from Green Bay's mandatory minicamp is one Aaron Rodgers, who maybe no one else has heard this. If you're listening to the Sportive, maybe this is the first time you've heard it, but Aaron Rodgers does not want to be in Green Bay anymore. And that is was his way of showing it, was not showing up for mandatory minicamp. Green Bay is basically putting out public statements saying he's tearing our family apart, which is just delightful.
To
no end. And they finally rolled out Jordan Love today, who said he's ready to go to be the day one starter, which is just, you know, okay.
And then,
sure. I know he's, what else is he going to say? I realize that, but I mean, you could actually hear people laughing in the back. I think you could hear like the laugh track from All in the Family going.
There were reporters in the back of the room laughing, and he tried to throw a football at them, and it hit the ceiling and bounced straight down and hit him in the foot. And it was just a sad scene for everyone.
Yeah, because if he really was, I mean, if the Green Bay was prepared to throw him the keys, they would not be humiliating themselves trying to get Aaron Rodgers back in the fold right now. They would have sent him to they would have had an incredible offer from a number of teams to get his services. They could have set themselves up with enough draft picks to overcome a lot of the mistakes they've been making by not surrounding Aaron Rodgers with frontline talent the last 7-8 years. But instead, they are trying desperately to figure out what will make him happy enough to return. And frankly, I don't think anything like that exists in this world or the next. And that pleases me greatly.
I mean, the thing about the way the NFL works is, even if Green Bay had a choice of either you can keep Aaron Rodgers or you can go back with the full benefit of hindsight and redo your last three drafts. Mm-hmm. Everybody else will pick the same guys that they're going to pick, except you can change every one of your picks and pick the guy that was much better, which you know now because they've played in the league. Even if they did that instead of having Aaron Rodgers, they would be worse than if they had Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's just I'm so happy, John. their misery makes me so happy.
It's amazing how they could take the obviously unhappy best player in the league and continue to do the same stupid things over and over until their favorite son snapped. It's just a layer of ineptitude that could only be caused by a misbegotten fan ownership scheme that makes idiots across the upper Midwest think that they have a voice in something they don't have a voice in.
There is something to be said for they've never had to worry about the quarterback position for 25 years. And no other team can say that except for, the Patriots now, they can say that. They have to worry about it.
I just want to say to any Packers fans that are listening, if your team had a normal idiot fail son owner, all of the people who are responsible for this would have been fired by now. Even like Mark Davis would have been like, this is not working. We need to go a different direction. Whoever your favorite moronic rich person that owns an NFL team that can't do anything right, whoever that is, pick any of these NFL owners that you hate. They all would have done better than not let these same goofballs who are in charge of Green Bay do the same dumb things over and over every year. It was like, you remember when the Jets would draft a tight end or a punter or something in the first round every single year, no matter what happened? It was a running joke, and yet it still happened for like 5 years after that. It's exactly the same kind of thing for Green Bay. Every year, everyone goes back and looks and says, man, they have drafted no offensive talent whatsoever for Rodgers. They've done nothing for this guy. And then their first four picks are linebackers and whatever. Like, they've got no talent whatsoever. You've never even heard the names of any of Green Bay's wide receivers. Every year, they would come in and it would be Jordy Nelson and seven guys who sounded like they were plumbers. And all of them would catch, 40 passes for 600 yards or whatever. And the next year, it would be very obvious that the thing they needed to do was get some kind of offensive talent at the draft. And they would draft a fullback and a guard and a linebacker and just unreal.
This is the year Jared Aberderis brings them to glory.
Right. They would draft a ninth round pick. There's not even a ninth round anymore, but they'd use a ninth round pick on
whatever guy from Purdue torched the Minnesota offensive or the Minnesota defensive secondary.
Exactly.
Just
four touchdowns against the Gophers. And, he'd be okay. He'd catch 35, 40 passes. He'd help your fantasy team 1 week. And then the next year, Aaron Rodgers would sit there with his sad eyes and everyone would talk about how they really needed some offensive players or he would walk. And then their first round pick, they would trade for cash. It's amazing. It's wonderful. I love it.
It is. It's just why would you want to be more like the Vikings? I'll never understand it. Why would you want uncertainty at the quarterback position every year? Why? Why would you want that? Why would that be your goal? You fools. You absolute fools. Do you know how good you have it?
I sometimes wonder if there's like a Milwaukee Bucks podcast that really hates the Timberwolves. That just has a segment over and over again about the Timberwolves' ineptitude. Because this must be what it feels like. Nobody really hates the Timberwolves because they're never good, I would think.
Nah,
but, correct. They're the team in the next state over, so maybe they do. But if you were watching the Timberwolves from the outside and just taking joy in their stupidity, man, that would be fun.
The Schadenfreude, the excess of Schadenfreude. You'd have to measure out the doses just so you didn't like OD on it.
After a while, it really would be like the Buffalo Sabres. We mentioned them before, but for a while it was funny how bad they were every single year, and it really has veered into sadness. Like, oh, this is bad. They were supposed to be good this year. They signed the best free agent on the market. And he scored two goals the whole season for him until they traded him, at which point he scored like 10 goals for his new team. And in the middle, they lost 18 games in a row. And their star player, the one that we were talking about, Jack Eichel, mm-hmm. he got hurt, and they tried to tell him he wasn't hurt. And now he's so mad at the franchise he wants out. The franchise player, just a level of stupidity. And I just want to point out here that the Buffalo Sabres are owned by Terry Pegula, who is also the guy that donated $1 billion to Penn State to get them to start a hockey team, which gave Barry Alvarez and his cohort of lunatics the cover they needed to start a Big Ten hockey conference. And so this man is
ruined college hockey.
Ruined college hockey and the Buffalo Sabres franchise. So good job, Terry Pegula. Good job.
I think if you learned anything from listening to this podcast for 8 years, and you haven't, it's that rich people are stupid. So
they're certainly just as stupid as we are, and that's pretty stupid.
They're just as stupid as we are. They just have a lot more. Yeah.
I want to be clear
cushion.
That we are not saying we're smart. Go look at our bro turd.
Oh no!
Go look at my personal bro and turd predictions for the Twins this year, for this year or any year. I'm not saying I'm smart. I'm just saying. A lot of these other people are equally stupid.
Oh, just it again.
I don't know. That still sounds self-aggrandizing somehow. I want to be clear. I couldn't be more clear that I am the biggest idiot of all. I want to be clear about that. I am a moron.
Oh God. Well, that's an hour, John.
Is that what we're aiming for? I wasn't noticing because I was still hoping you were going to ask me about, I don't know, what else is out there.
I've touched on everything I can think of.
Do you want to talk about Formula One, Stu? Can I tell you one thing about Formula One?
Didn't Lewis Hamilton his brakes started glowing and he tried to turn to win the race? And instead he just kept going straight and he finished dead last.
I have to tell you that it's even funnier than that. So there was a button on his steering wheel that apparently was called the brake magic button, which is supposed to do something to heat up his brakes. But if he hits it while he's driving, it basically is a make the car crash button, and that's what happened.
It's like. He just, went right into the wall. Everyone went right past him.
Anyway.
Oh, God.
The thing I wanted to say about Formula One was, I don't know if you have seen on Netflix that there's a Formula One. The show is called Formula One Drive to Survive. And
I've heard of it, but I have not watched.
What they do is sort of at the beginning of the following year, they release 10 episodes, which are about the previous year. So in, March this year, they released 10 episodes about the 2020 season. And I had not watched it, but I watched fairly recently. I started watching the third season of this Formula One Drive to Survive. And it's really well done, and it's really interesting. And it's a little bit strange because the show is, it's all behind the scenes. It's interviews with the drivers and these team principals and the owners, and they're covering these controversies and – because they're doing it after the fact, they can sort of create these narrative arcs across the whole season of this driver is struggling. Is he going to get it together? As it turns out, he doesn't. And he moves to drivers are moving to different teams and stuff. And they can sort of create these narrative arcs. And the problem with this is, so I watched some of the race, like you mentioned, this last weekend. And what I discovered about this Formula One Drive to Survive is that now that I've watched it, it is so much better than the actual experience of watching Formula One. The Formula One is like, man, this is terrible. All they're doing is racing cars. Where is the interviews where is the drama and the interviews and the narrative arcs of this? And I mean, it's an amazing piece of public relations, to get the series out on Netflix and get some people to watch it. It's going to create so much more interest in Formula One than there might have been otherwise. That I can – it's one of those things that every league or team – if you owned a league or a team, you should definitely try to get a Netflix documentary made about every one of your seasons in the hopes that people will be like, wow, I watched this documentary on the Minnesota Vikings or whatever. Now I just got to see what happens. But the problem, at least in my mind, is that it's so much better than the actual sporting event that it's almost like, forget it. I'm just not going to watch any of the racing this season. I just Can't wait for next season of Drive to Survive.
You've essentially reached the point where I am, where I love the documentary about the Eagles, but I hate the Eagles music.
Right.
That's basically, exactly. you basically found the Formula One version.
Right. I thought that was, just watching the race, it was like, oh my gosh, they're going around the track. And the only exciting things that happened was a couple of guys' tires exploded with no warning. And, you know, it's just that random number generator sometimes. And that's not really that exciting. But if I could hear what they were saying on the radio the whole time, because that's a big feature of just people saying the F word in every possible inflection over the team radio is pretty much, I would say, about 20% of Drive to Survive. And you don't hear that on the television broadcast, but maybe there's some app or something you could pay for where you could only hear drivers swearing on the radio. But it's way better if you could hear Max Verstappen just losing his mind about his tire going for no reason than actually just watching. Well, he crashed into the wall. Now there's a safety car. Now it's NASCAR. Everybody drives behind the safety car until there's a restart. Whatever. Not that exciting, but. Anyway, that's my Formula One rant. I just thought that was interesting, and now we're past an hour. I'm just pushing my luck to see what I can talk about before you actually hang up the phone on me.
Oh, gosh. I can't think of any. Are there any, like, sporting events coming up? I can't think of anything.
The European Soccer Championship start this week.
Okay, is that Premiership
That's the Euros, dude.
Continental
the Euros.
Oh, Euros, okay.
The Euros.
Okay. And that is club teams from both the Bundesliga and Premiership.
Now you're just saying stuff, and I won't have it.
Serie A. I'm guessing right now, but I think I'm close to right.
Yep. We're just going to say that's all correct because
okay.
people have heard enough out of me. Is what I'm saying.
What teams are in it? Are like, is it like your Chelsea's, your Man City's, your?
No, your, it's your England's,
okay.
Your.
Oh, okay, it's a country thing. Yeah. Okay, it's a patriotic thing. Okay, never mind.
It's all about European
I was thinking of an entirely different thing, John.
You know,
I apologize.
That never-ending force for good, European patriotism, never caused
never caused any problems.
Never caused a fight.
Yes. These textbooks from Florida confirmed that. Anyway, yeah, let's put a bow on this one. I think we can quit indulging ourselves and let Wade get back to work.
it's good to talk to you, Wade. Let's just get Wade on the podcast. Then maybe we'd record one more than every 2 months. Wade, you want to produce this thing?
Yeah. We'll come down to Apple Valley.
That's fine.
That is absolutely a threat. I want to point that out. That is not a promise. That is a threatenable threat.
Chicken isn't going to Apple Valley. I know that for a fact.
Oh, no. I mean, that's really, really close to either Minneapolis or Duluth or other place he hates. I don't know.
He hates Duluth? Why does he hate Duluth?
He doesn't hate Duluth. I'm lying. Oh. He loves Duluth. It's too far to go, but I think he likes the Northland.
I wonder if he hates Rochester. I bet he has a grudge against Rochester.
He likes that hamburger place.
I love
place.
Newt's.
Yeah.
Man,
so,
the pandemic's over. I could go to Newt's again. I'm going to Newt's. I'll see you guys later. It's 9 p.m. right now. I think I can still get there before they close.
It's about an hour down 52. You get there in plenty of time.
I love Newt's.
Good burger. Okay, let's call it. John, great talking to you. Hopefully,
Stu,
we'll have another podcast here in the next week or two for everybody.
That would be good. Let's do it.
All righty, man.
All right.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.